Abner Maris is a world champion boxer, Olympian sports commentator, and most importantly, dad to two little girls. Beloved by abuelas and hardcore fans alike, Abner is a pro at entertaining the world both in and out of the ring. On Blue Wire's new podcast, On the Hook with Abner Maris, we'll hear from Abner, his family, fellow athletes, and other people who made him the boxer and the man he is. They talk about things like the state of boxing, Abner's journey from a kid on the streets to boxing champ, and being a husband and a girl dad. Listen to On the Hook with Abner Maris wherever you get your podcasts. Episodes in English out on Tuesdays and episodes in Spanish out on Wednesdays.
And then everyone said, jabroni.
Jabroni. J-A-B-R-O-N-I. X-Y-Z. A-B-C. Oh, it doesn't matter. You spell jabroni.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to a new episode of Two Jabronis with a Wrestling Podcast. BJ Cruz here with my tag team partner, the man who, like MJF, orders his steak well done, the incomparable Jeremy Loss. Jay, what is up, my dude?
You know, there's a lot of things you could say about me. That is like the most hurtful thing you've ever said.
I know it is because you and I have spoken in social situations, and I believe it was you who said having overcooked meat is like one of your biggest fears in life. So
I cooked a prime rib the other day.
Oh no, this doesn't sound like it's going to end well.
No, it was bomb.
Okay.
But I was totally fearful that I was going to overcook it because the recipe that I followed calls for like a 5-pound prime rib, and I had like a 3.5-pounder.
Yeah.
And I was just like really nervous that I was going to overcook it, and it turned out just like perfection. But man, overcooked meat is just the fucking worst. It's like you might as well just throw it in the trash.
It shocked me that MJF led with that. That might have been the biggest heel move he's ever done. Ordering a well-done steak.
Did he order ketchup with it too?
No, he didn't go full 45 with it. But it was still an atrocious thing to hear. Especially like I watched when my wife and I watched TV, we watched just a lot of food shows. Right. Just that's it. So
same.
It's just yeah. And I feel like that's like the married thing to do. And when you watch someone do that, and I grew up eating well done steak because that's how my parents used to eat it. And it was just like you had no choice. And then it wasn't until years later where I figured out, you know what? You don't have to cook it all the way because it tastes better. And there's like a texture thing to it. All these other things that were just open to me. And
it tastes so much. Can we just turn this into a food podcast?
Oh, if people feel like it's too political, we are definitely pivoting to an all food Two Jabronis podcast. We'll get The Rock on to talk Taramana. It's a whole
to
do.
By the way, how is that? I'm not a huge tequila guy because tequila, like
my friend,
really bad things to me. But
my friend Taramana is incredible. Oh, phenomenal. That's not even me being a homer. I mean, it sort of is, but I will say this. My wife also hates tequila, hates it, but she'll drink it in social situations. And that's what we usually end up consuming when our friends are around, you know, safely distanced with masks. And she has gone on record and said Taramana is the most palatable tequila she's ever had. So there is that.
It gets the Cruz family seal of approval.
Oh yeah,
all The Rock needs.
Yeah, my daughter as well. I've taken many pictures of her holding full and empty bottles. All right, before we lose everyone who either hates tequila and or food and or medium rare steaks, let's get over.
Okay, hold on. I'm making a note here. If you like your steak well done, just stop listening to this podcast. I don't want to be friends with you. I don't want you listening to my voice.
Right.
That's
just where we'll never agree. We'll never agree to disagree. You are just simply wrong if you like well done steak. And if you start adding the ketchup aspect to it, we're not even entertaining the conversation. It is.
We're throwing hands.
We're throwing fisticuffs. Don't forget to subscribe to the show wherever you download your podcasts. And if you're one of our fantastic Apple Podcast users, please, please, please rate us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. And if you're feeling spicy, leave a review. And our Spotify people, hit us with that follow so you can help us climb those Spotify charts.
And make sure that you follow us on social at Two Jabronis Pod on Twitter and on Instagram. You can also subscribe to our YouTube channel and see that I am broadcasting live from Aurora Borealis,
yeah,
localized in my bedroom, a la Skinner in the Simpsons in the steamed hams gimmick.
Principal Skinner.
Make sure that you subscribe to our YouTube channel. That's Two Jabronis with a Wrestling Podcast. You can follow me personally on Twitter at Jeremy A. Loss. You can follow Ben at Cruise Control. That is Control with a K.
All right. We obviously didn't have a show on a regular slot on Tuesday. We apologize again. Got a couple messages asking where the hell the show was. We're starting into that season where if you have a sniffle or if you just don't feel well, you automatically start thinking the worst, right? And it's cold season. So it's officially, is this a cold or is this Corona season? And it's just not pleasant. And
hit hard this week.
It just became a fear. It's not even an irrational fear. It's a very rational fear at this point. And I think it's going to be, this won't be the first time, but that is why we didn't have a show earlier this week.
It got to the point in my house where like my wife coughed and I gave her one of those like those oh my God looks.
Yeah.
And she just looked at me and like was like, it's a tickle. And then
yeah,
everything like a lot of other things happened within my household that like kind of
my
took things to another level. But yeah, it's definitely in that stage of life right now.
My daughter sneezed on me today when I was changing her. I was like putting a new shirt on her. She sneezed on me. She's not even 2 years old. I gave her the dirtiest look. Like, are you kidding me with this? You turn away, put it in color, sneeze into your arm. All the things the CDC says. But anyway, we are back. We are excited to talk about wrestling, even though we started off with a very, very steak-heavy tangent. But it is now time to stick to wrestling.
And we should talk about it. I think we should stick to wrestling.
And for this week's Stick to Wrestling, we are leading off with what is the absolute talk of the wrestling world. I have not seen anything this polarizing in wrestling in a very, very long time. We are talking about the two-man singing duo of Chris Jericho and MJF, the musical event on TNT that took the internet by storm. And the reactions, again, just very polarizing. You either loved it or you hated it. So my first, we haven't talked about this yet. We deliberately saved it for the pod. Jay, I'm asking you straight up, did you enjoy the MJF Chris Jericho musical?
Yes.
Yes.
It was awesome.
Thank God.
I've watched it 4 times. It's great. Chris Jericho is a lead singer of a band and his voice sucks. And MJF had a better voice. MJF's voice kind of sounded like Seth MacFarlane.
Yeah. Where it was like, oh, that's passable. Like it.
Yeah. It was not bad.
Yeah, and that's a great comp. That's a great comp. Seth MacFarlane, the creator and genius behind Family Guy, whenever he puts a lot of songs in Family Guy, he even I think he hosted like the Oscars or the Emmys, yeah. And he did a couple numbers there. And again, very, very passable to, dare I say, good voice. MJF, very similar.
It's like a crooner-style voice.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe the transition is a little easier for MJF to go crooner versus Chris Jericho, who went from heavy metal to crooner. But we all know.
We don't want to talk Fozzy because
I can't do a Fozzy bit just because I just haven't listened to enough Fozzy to form an opinion, admittedly. But look, the segment itself was incredible. It was just, look, it was campy. It was cheesy. But it also drove the storyline, right? Like it drove the storyline in a non-traditional way, and in a world, in a sport, in an entertainment section that we are all clamoring for something new. This was that something new. Now, whether you hated it or you loved it, that's totally up to you. But the reason why I absolutely dug it and thought it was phenomenal was because it was so different. It was so out of left field. And then, like, look, it was it was a whole production. The song was just about wrestling. They had dancers. They learned how to dance a little bit, little offbeat on some points, but it was just so it was just so out there that you're like, I gotta respect the hustle on this.
Yeah, that's it. That was my takeaway as well. Like, this is something you would never would have guessed would have come out of this. Like, you would have thought, oh, if they're gonna do a gimmick where they're doing a steak dinner, they would have had like a brawl and it would have been like a food fight. Like, if this was WWE, it would have been a food fight. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
They would have
yeah.
dissolved this into something that we see all the time. And they were able to think of something that was totally out of left field that really kind of took these characters and made them more hateable in ways that you just didn't yeah. think you could hate them even more. Like, you automatically think they're both smug assholes, which is great, especially for MJF's character. And it was just a fun, like, it also kind of, yes, it made them more smug and made them more like assholes, but also it was like a little bit more of a lighthearted feel too. And it was totally unexpected. I loved every second of it. I loved the look at the beginning when they're sitting at the table and then they just put their hands on their, like they put yeah. their head on their fist. Like,
very musical-esque. Yeah.
If you don't like it, that's fine. It's not everybody's cup of tea. I would say, like, if WWE put this on and this was a, somebody with, like, say this was, I don't know, AJ Styles and Matt Riddle, bad comparison, but say they did a musical, right? It would get torn to shreds. So I think AEW also utilized the fact that they probably have a little bit of rope that they can leverage to do stuff like this. Like, WWE cannot do this. 100%. They would have got fucking torched.
They can't now because now that it would just look like they're copying Dynamite. Or
right,
AEW.
But I'm saying, like, if they came up with this idea first and they decided, like, let's do a musical,
sure,
they would have got fucking torched.
Ironically, like, they could have put Elias in that situation and probably would have played just as well. Because, I mean, they freaking gave Elias a whole song set on Raw.
Well, like, yeah, exactly. Like, he had that, like, concert on Monday night and people were, myself included, were trashing it because it's like, why are we giving this guy 5 minutes to sing a song? It's terrible.
A full you know? 5 minutes, yeah. No, it... And I totally agree with you that WWE, they also would have found a way to mess it up, right? Like, the amount of cheesiness and the amount of campiness that was in that segment with Jericho and MJF was, like, just the right amount that it was palatable. Any more, and I would have been like, all right, man, like, I wish I had that 5 to 6 minutes back, you know? And I didn't feel that by the end of it. I did get a weird look from my wife who, like, walked into the room as I was watching it. And she was like, I thought you said you were watching Dynamite. I said, oh, this is Dynamite. Because she's a huge musical theater buff. So she did one of those things where she was walking in from our bedroom into the living room, did like a double take, very confused look, and then did the slow sit down just to see like how this would all shake out. And she said, it wasn't bad. And then kept it moving. So I dug it. And again, look, they could have progressed this story with just another one of Jericho and MJF's will they, won't they segments. You know, they put each other over with a lot of backhanded compliments. But we've seen that already. Would that have been enjoyable for, you know, a fourth straight week? Absolutely not. So you got to applaud them and AEW's creative for saying, like, let's go out of the box.
Yeah, right. They have to find ways to differentiate themselves from the competition and differentiate their product. And also, like, huge shout out to Jericho and MJF for, I'm sure they had a large part in thinking about, like, how can we make this unique to our characters, unique to our story, and get people talking, good or bad. Like, it got people talking about AEW again. So,
right.
Kudos to everybody involved. I don't know what they'll do coming out of this. I'm sure Jericho will have some sort of phrase that he can lean on to kind of have another marketing ploy, like the demo god. Like,
sure.
I'm sure they'll come up with something.
Well, I guess that's a great transition to the next question I had about this is, so next week, they're obviously having some sort of town hall situation where they're going to ask MJF again if he wants to join the Inner Circle. And to me, this just this feels like they are heading towards a Jericho MJF feud, right? That just makes the most sense from what seems to be happening, because neither guy has a lot going on with anyone else, and they've been teasing this. And usually when you tease that there's some bad blood a little bit, or you know, when you're starting to do some backhanded compliment business, that's where it's going to lead. Is that where this is headed? You know, big blow off match.
I would assume so. I mean, that's the logical choice. I don't think you can. I mean, maybe you can have them team up for a little bit, but they are both so important to the overall structure of AEW. I don't know if you can kind of put them together and for the sake of the rest of the card. Like, I think they're just so important to how things are structured. The one interesting thing that I can think of coming out of this is, what if this is a passing of the guard in a way, and we see a shift here where MJF becomes the leader of Inner Circle?
I was thinking the exact same thing. You know, he joins, and like you said, maybe a temporary alliance with all of them, and then it turns into everyone turning on Jericho, because I think one thing that is missing from a potential feud here is who's the face, right? Right now, they're both heels. If you have it where Jericho gets kicked out, makes him a face, and then makes him now fighting against the very group that he helped build and helped bring to such prominence in AEW. So,
and I think they are teasing a little bit of tension within the Inner Circle as well. Like, Santana and Ortiz were not happy about some things. So I think there's little bits and pieces that are being teased. Obviously, I don't think this is going to be something that's going to be done anytime soon. I think if they end up pulling the trigger on that big of a move, it's going to be later down the line, maybe at Double or Nothing next year.
Yeah, I agree.
Something where they have a lot of time to really sow the seeds of discord within the Inner Circle. But I think that's a really interesting angle to take this. That's a long form story that you can really drag out, is MJF just kind of forcing his way in, becoming the leader and taking over. Cause also I don't know how much longer Jake Hager is going to be around. Like, I know that he has an MMA fight coming up, so I'm sure that's going to take him off TV a couple times, because obviously he's going to be training.
Right.
So what if it's MJF and Wardlow just kind of force their way in and they take over control, and that leaves Jericho to kind of wade outside and become your face again, because he's due for another transition too. Like, he is, he's been in this character, this Le Champion character, for so long that he's due for a rebrand. And we all know that when it comes to rebranding in your character, Chris Jericho is fucking undefeated. Man, that guy can do it all when it comes to rebranding his character.
Versatile doesn't even begin to describe how versatile he is.
I think what they did last night was just, to kind of bring it all back, was just a really unique way to tell a story in the wrestling environment.
Yep.
Like, I can't remember seeing a musical put together on wrestling. I'm sure I mean, obviously, like, Elias is a musical character. We've all seen the Rock gimmick where he's out there with a guitar.
Yeah.
But like, this is a full-fledged like Broadway musical that they tried to do. And I commend them for trying it. I think it turned out great. I thought the people that they chose to do this were awesome, and they fit perfectly. And now I just want to see where they go from here. What are they able to take from it to create a larger story that really elevates both MJF and Jericho to where they rightly should be? And that's at the top of the card.
Yeah. I mean, I have 2 points to kind of wrap up this storyline. One, this will also help if things shake out the way that we're hypothesizing here, with MJF taking over the Inner Circle. That could put him back, you know, somewhere down the line, in the front of the line for a shot at the world title, right? Because right now he had a shot, a few weeks ago. He obviously didn't win, but and now he's kind of in limbo again. Like, where does he really fit in? And maybe it's going to be the slow build and the slow climb. But if he's the leader of the Inner Circle, that just makes sense, and it kind of puts him back. You know, he can jump the line a little bit and be fighting for the world title. And two, I will. Have you ever seen? So, I don't think I've ever seen anyone order a steak blue, nor it arrive. It was weird. So a blue steak, correct me, is just that's just the raw piece of meat, or is it just a little sear on the outside? I'm a little confused as to what arrived.
I've never heard that phrase before.
That's what Jericho ordered at the end. Because you know how they kept decreasing the amount?
Yeah.
And then he goes blue. I've heard what blue is. I've heard that it's like basically raw. So when that piece of meat arrived on his plate and it was super, super raw, I think it's just
extra rare. It's just a sear on the outside.
Sweet Jesus. I
mean, I'm sure that's really good.
I draw the line at rare. Rare, medium rare is where I live. That I will never deviate. But
I think it depends on the type of beef that you have, though. Like, if you get like a really nice cut of meat and you do that blue, man, I bet you that's fucking delicious.
I did not expect you to be a proponent of a blue steak.
I mean,
I was trying to be facetious a little bit, but then you started to go, hey, could be good. So now I'm a little concerned.
It could be. I mean, look at this. I'm looking at photos right now. This shit looks fucking delicious. All right. I'm getting hungry. So let's move on. Let's talk about Kenny Omega, because Kenny Omega just had the moment we've all been waiting for last night. We are seeing the return of the cleaner. And I loved everything about this. I saw some people griping about it because they really wanted to see a long match between him and Sonny Kiss, which I think would have been great. But at the same time, with this tournament, I think this is the perfect opportunity for you to reestablish Kenny Omega as your A-plus player. Having him beat Sonny Kiss was just the perfect way to kind of reintroduce this, like, this heelish character. I mean, they've been kind of teasing it with his commentary that he was doing, especially during Hangman's matches.
Yep.
But I thought, now is the time. Here it is, right now. Let's get Kenny Omega back up to the top. He's likely going to win this tournament. I think it makes a lot of sense if he does. This is all to build to Hangman, Kenny Omega in the final.
Yeah.
And then maybe early next year, I don't even know which their first, whatever their first pay-per-view is, that's when you can put the belt on him, because they're going to have to get it off of Moxley sooner or later. It's obviously not going to happen with Eddie Kingston at Full Gear, though. That match is going to be awesome, and I love the build for it. But now you can have what we've all been wanting, and that's Kenny Omega as your champion, and a heel champion at that, like just a fucking asshole champion, especially with the Bucks going in that direction too.
Yeah.
Man, I think this could be really, really good.
Yeah, no, I also like how they slow played Kenny being a main eventer in AEW, because like you said, when AEW first started, Kenny Omega was on board. It might have been detrimental almost to just kind of throw him in there and expect all of us to just accept him as the face of AEW. And you know, we all know he's a legit world champion because we're friggin' marks, right? But again, TNT, mainstream, you know, American television is just a whole other ball game. And I think the way that they've built him and the way they've told his story over the past year and change has been really, really well done. And now it's all coming to fruition, right? And he's, you know, all they had to do was ask him to flip that switch, turn the cleaner switch on, and like, let's make it happen. And now that it's happening really, really, it like feels organic. And that's super, super exciting. And like you said, this is going to create two amazing matches, right? Now it's him and Paige, and then him and Mox down the line. That's two banger matches. And it's because they slow played it. And they didn't necessarily keep him out of like the title picture. They gave him the tag titles for a while. And they kept him, you know, in everyone's peripheral. But now, it's his time, and it's going to be fantastic.
Yeah, they did the right thing here, because so many of us, when they announced AEW, were like, oh, shit, they're going to put the belt on Kenny. They're going to put the tag belts on the Bucks.
Right away.
And, like, it's going to be all vice presidents with the belts. And they've done the complete opposite. They put the belts on the people that they know can help grow the company. They've put the TNT belt on Cody, because I felt like I think they all believe that Cody was the right person to kind of usher that belt into the company.
Mm-hmm.
And I think now is the time where you can allow your VPs, the Bucks, Omega, who have spent a good part of the time in AEW as babyfaces, to turn heel, be the assholes that we all know and loved when you guys were the Elite in New Japan and Ring of Honor.
Yep.
So I think now is now is the time to pull the trigger and start really like expanding your storytelling, expanding what you can do as a company. And it opens up a lot of things. Mox Omega again is going to be great, because last time it was a little funky because Omega was a babyface. Mox has been a babyface since he came in.
Right.
And now if they do it again, you have a clear cut heel in Omega and you have a clear cut babyface in Mox. And that would make for a really unique story. A chance to get away from the story that they were doing beforehand, which was very like, we're going to beat the hell out of each other with just about anything that we can. And we're going to do death matches basically. Like, I want to see Kenny Omega versus Moxley in just a flat out
singles match. Yeah.
I want to see Kenny Omega in a 60 minute match again. I want to see him in those like wars that we know that he can put on and those just incredible matches. So, this is that opportunity. This world title tournament is great. The Penta,
Rey Fenix,
Rey Fenix match was incredible. They beat the shit out of each other. They were doing some wild stuff. Rey Fenix versus Kenny Omega is going to be dope. Like, that's going to be so good.
Yeah.
And then on the other side, we're going to have just two meaty men slapping meat and Wardlow and Hangman Page. And I think another thing about this, like about them deciding to slow play Omega with the title, is it allowed them to build Hangman Page into a bona fide star.
Yep.
And we talked about this when they launched, like, a lot of people were like, oh, they're going to put the belt on Hangman. He's their guy. Like, he's part of the elite. Like, he just is the up and coming. And they put it on Jericho because it made sense for that belt to be introduced. But that also allowed Hangman to slowly build into this main event player that we all adore, that could really be a superstar for them in the future. So Hangman Omega is going to be great. I think that's a mini storyline that they could even utilize to kind of bridge the gap between Full Gear and probably Double or Nothing next year, and just really let this thing ride. So a lot of really good things brewing in AEW. On the flip side, they still have some issues. And I think one of the biggest issues that happened last night that I think fell under the radar for the most part, except a couple of people noticed it on Twitter. I'm not even sure if you noticed it in real time, but like Alex Reynolds last night during that 4-man tag match was knocked out cold for like a good 3 to 5 minutes.
It was scary.
And they just kept wrestling around him. It was weird.
Yeah. He went full limp. Like, he was knocked out. And man, you know, AEW always seems to have all these progressive thoughts and motions that they want to, you know, implement, right? They're like, you know, with COVID and injuries and they always tout themselves as this company that's super transparent and like wants to protect the wrestlers, and for the most part they do, right? But and they take these little pot shots at WWE for not doing that. There's just times like this where stuff falls through the cracks, and like it's
this Matt Hardy,
right? Like it's
problematic instances.
It's inexcusable for the match to, like, they literally wrestled around this dude who was literally in the middle of the ring,
and then they dragged him
right
to the corner
and
then raised his prone hand and slapped it so they can tag out, and then he stayed on the, like,
it was,
there's too many, like,
it was a bad
veteran
look.
Workers to be in that match to not notice that, like, is happening, you know what I mean?
It was a bad,
see an X. I didn't see anything. I saw them working around him. He ended up taking bumps. When he actually came to, he was taking bumps immediately after, which shouldn't happen at all.
It was a tough look. It was a tough look. And again, it's just unfortunate. And I'm at the risk of sounding like a WWE shill. Like, I just don't think that happens in WWE, right? Like, someone gets knocked out. That's an immediate, just cover them and let's go home and we'll figure out the rest later. Right. Or some other, just, I think they've just dealt with that more, unfortunately, right? Like, I'm not coming to WWE's defense. I'm not going to stand on this hill and die on this hill. WWE is safer than AEW. It's not what I'm saying at all. I'm just saying, in all the years I've watched wrestling, I just don't see that happening. Someone gets knocked out. Someone gets clearly, like, probably concussed, right? Let's be frank. And, like, for it to just continue around him, like, let's get a doctor out here, something, get this dude some help. It was really alarming, and it was It was pretty disturbing to watch.
Who do you blame there? Like, do you blame? I put a lot of the blame on the ref.
Yeah.
Because I mean, it's the ref's job to kind of notice these things. Obviously, like when you're working too, like the wrestlers should kind of notice that. But like the ref should be like looking out of the corner of his eye and seeing like, oh, he hasn't moved in the minute and a half that we've been going. Probably something is wrong.
I mean, I feel like it's a collective. It has to be a collective effort. Because, look, when you're working with someone or you're working with people, in this case, it was eight dudes, you know, in a four-way tag match. Like, you have to protect each other. That's just part of the game, right? Like, you can be an amazing wrestler. You can do all the flippy shit that you want. But if you're not there protecting people, you won't get jobs. You won't be hired by anyone. And you won't be considered a good wrestler. So I think it's just, it falls a little bit on them for not seeing... Like, hey, this dude's not okay. A little bit on the ref, a little bit on like why wasn't a doctor like rushing out immediately? Like they're all watching in the back in Gorilla. Get someone out there, man. Like we can't have all these people just risking they're already risking their lives for our entertainment, right? But the minute something goes wrong, and look, shit's gonna go wrong. Inevitably, at some point, they just have to be able to adapt and keep everyone safe. Like that's the ultimate goal of this. Is you want to fake the hurt, right? You want to
make it look believable, but yes, like, you obviously not like that.
You don't want to knock somebody out and just have it keep on moving. That's just confusing. That's disturbing. That's scary. So it was just a really unfortunate situation, and hopefully, you know, things can be learned from that. But
I just it's troubling to me because I don't want this to become a thing with AEW, like obviously with the Matt Hardy situation and everything that happens with Darby Allin. And I think a large part of what happens with Darby Allin is his own fucking fault.
Sure. He decides he wants
to do the stupidest bumps imaginable. But like, I don't want this to become a thing with AEW where the safety of the people that are working in the ring is not at the forefront. Like I it blows my mind that he's pulled to the corner of the ring. His hand is slapped. Nobody even notices to like maybe roll him out to the apron and then maybe just lower him down. Like I understand you're in a match and you want to keep working, but like if you're off camera, like Private Party should be like, there should be some sort of signal to like, hey, come over here and get him down, get him out of here, you know? Or like Allie's on the side of the ring too. She can notice. Like also, side note, how many fucking times is she going to get a new gimmick?
Well, apparently...
Or how many times is she going to go back to the same old gimmick? Like, she's changed gimmicks like 18 times.
The switch happened on Dark, right? Like, they had to play that back, which I don't know if I agree with turning any type of turns on Dark, because we're just... Not everyone's watching it.
Dark has become a shit show for me. It's like... Here's 22 matches on YouTube. It's like, I don't want to sit and watch 22 matches.
Yeah, it's
like, I understand that.
It's like one of those Spotify playlists where they're just like, here's a bunch of songs on a Friday. You're like,
right.
Whoa, dude.
It's like, I understand that they have a lot of talent that they want to showcase, but at the same time, it's like, that's a lot. That is a lot of wrestling to watch, be watching on YouTube. I'm really like, they've done like four different gimmicks with her. They've also done a couple gimmicks with Brandy where it's like, they're giving TV time to them. And they're just like, all right, we're not doing that. Nightmare Family, we're not doing that. The Nightmare Collective, we're not doing that. The Brandy and the Bunny thing that they did for a little bit where they're in the tag tournament, we're not doing that. Like, that's taking time away from people that potentially could have really utilized that TV time and really elevated their characters. And it's like, what are we... Like, I love Allie. I think she's great. I loved her work in TNA. I think she has a lot of like good qualities, but at the same time, like they need to find a gimmick for her and just fucking stick with it, because it's like, she's the Bunny. She's Allie. She's in the Nightmare Family. Oh wait, she's the Bunny again. Wait, she's with the Butcher and the Blade again. Where the fuck did that come from? It's just, it's all over the place.
It's super weird.
And
yeah.
Literally 90% of the time she's just standing there. Like she's not doing anything. She's not in the ring. So it's like, find something for her. She's really good. Just find something for her.
Yep.
That's also just another thing that's like kind of bugs me about AEW is like, when it comes to the women's side of things, outside of like a select few, like a Britt Baker or like Hikaru Shida or Nyla Rose, like they just don't really know what they're doing.
Yep.
They haven't booked the women's division very well at all. Thunder Rosa coming in was like a shot in the arm, but I don't even know what's happening with that. And Nyla had Vicky Guerrero for a minute, and then I don't even know I haven't seen her on TV in weeks. So, you know, I preface this in saying there's a lot of really good things about AEW, but there's also still a lot of really problematic things that we've kind of harped on a couple times. But let's pay some bills.
Let's pay them.
And then let's get into, we got Hell in the Cell. We want to talk about that, but let's take a moment to hear from our sponsors over at Bet Online. The wait is finally over. Football is back. You may not be at a game this year, but you can still be in on the action at BetOnline. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure that you can get on every possible chance to win this season. From game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props, BetOnline gives you more options to wager than anywhere else. You can get in on season opening bonuses today and start off wagering on wins, division, and championship futures all day, every day. Head to BetOnline today and take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Don't forget to use promo code BLUEWIRE at betonline.ag. That's BLUEWIRE, all one word. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
And let's also take a break to talk about our friends over at Indeed. Even though sports had a break, your business did not. You have to keep moving, and that makes hiring more important than ever. Indeed is here to help. Indeed.com is the number one job site in the world because Indeed gets you the best people fast. Unlike other sites, Indeed gives you full control and payment flexibility over your hire. You only pay for what you need, you can pause your account at any time, and there are no long-term contracts. Plus, Indeed provides powerful tools to make your search that much easier. Like sponsored jobs, which are shown to be 3.5 times more likely to result in a hire. With 73% of online job seekers visiting Indeed each month, Indeed is going to get you the important hire you need, just like they have for over 3 million businesses. Right now, Indeed is offering our listeners a free $75 credit to boost your job post, which means more quality candidates will see it fast. Try Indeed out with a free $75 credit at Indeed.com/BlueWire. This is their best offer available anywhere. Go right now to Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Offer valid through December 31st. All right, Jay. Hell in a Cell. Crept up on us a little bit.
Just a little bit.
We are here.
Also, okay, let's kickstart this by saying, fuck the red cell.
I wasn't gonna come in that hot, but I was also gonna come in with a similar sentiment.
I'm coming in that is the worst thing on the planet. The cell was perfect. It was fine.
Oh,
why are we doing it red?
It also hurts me even more when they post all these throwback versions of Hell in a Cell, and you're like, there's the beautiful cage. It's silver. You can see through it. It's perfect. And then now they have this red thing, which is damn near impossible to see through. And
I'm surprised at this point that they haven't done away with the red cell and done like a cell with like flames on it.
Or been like,
to go with like the
red cell for Raw matches, blue cell for SmackDown matches.
Jesus Christ.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, they, why not? At this point, this is crazy. This is insane to me. But anyway, Hell in a Cell this weekend, little weird because like the card doesn't seem to be fully fleshed out, right?
I mean, as of right now, there are 4 matches on the card. 3 of them are within the cell, which is great. I mean, I've always been of the mind, like if you're doing a Hell in a Cell card or if you're doing tables, ladders, and chairs or Extreme Rules, all the matches should fit that gimmick. So yep. I feel like,
yep.
If we're doing a Hell in a Cell card, all the matches should be in the cell. Let's get fucking weird. Like, let's keep the cell down. Like, Elimination Chamber, all the matches should be in the chamber. Extreme Rules, all the matches should be Extreme Rules. Like, it irks me when they do an Extreme Rules pay-per-view and like two matches are Extreme Rules.
Right.
It's like, what are we doing?
Yeah, so, and people get disqualified.
Right now, yeah, it's like, oh, we're going to do a no disqualification match. It's like, dumb. So four matches on the card right now. We have Jeff Hardy versus Elias, which was made on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Bayley versus Sasha.
Yep.
Which, to be honest with you, I love it, but at the same time, it's too early. They needed to wait on this, but whatever. We'll talk about it later. Drew McIntyre versus Randy Orton. Roman Reigns versus Jey Uso. Other options here. You know who's not on the card? Seth Rollins. Murphy's not on the card. Kevin Owens, Aleister Black are not on the card. So I think there's the tag titles aren't on the card. Neither are the undercard, the mid-card belts. So Sami Zayn or Bobby Lashley. So there's a lot of talent here. Retribution's not on here. Also, side, we got to talk about this really quick. I know that we wanted to talk about Hell in a Cell, but we didn't get a chance to talk about this on Monday. Retribution already lost.
Yeah, that was pretty bad. It was
what the fuck?
It was not good booking. I don't know how else to put it. It was not good. And, you know, I guess if you look at it from the perspective that they've won all the times they've invaded, and this is, you know, I guess you could, maybe that's a way to pad it. It was horrible. Look, there's no way around it.
100% can't take a loss now. They did. And then they get fucking squashed by the Fiend.
Yeah.
Like, way to take the powerful new faction that you just gave us and just make them dog shit.
Yeah, it was. I mean, I think Ali is going to be really good as their leader, and he's fitting in nicely. You know, he cuts really good promos, especially as the leader. At least he came out and said, by the way, side note, I was the hacker. You got me. So at least there was some clarity there. But yeah, that was just not good booking. So I guess my first question about Hell in a Cell is, why do you think there's only four matches so far? Do you think all of these, since they're in the cell, are just going to go 30 minutes each?
So is that possible? What do they think? What are we thinking? Like 2 hours, two and a half hours for the pay-per-view?
I mean, they've gotten rave reviews for their shorter pay-per-views. The ones that aren't, you know, the big four. Oh, I'm in and out. I can have dinner with my family after. You know?
I think the three cell matches all have to be at least 30 minutes. I would imagine Bayley Sasha is 25 to 30.
That has to be 30 at least. That's a freaking blood feud at this point. Drew and Randy, the same. Roman and Jay, the I Quit match is going to be
it has to be close to 45 minutes.
Yeah. And then Hardy Elias kind of jumped the line a little bit, got on the card. But I also have betting odds for this.
Okay, hit me.
All right. So, well, I'll give them as we talk about each match. So let's just start at the top of my bet online odds. Sasha and Bayley. So you're of the belief that this is too soon.
Yes.
I know we've
talked about this ad nauseum. Like, we have discussed this feud. We've discussed this storyline.
Yep.
We both love it.
Yep.
They just broke up like not too long ago. Why not drag it out a little bit more? Why not have Bayley defend against somebody else on SmackDown? I know there's not a lot of, like, there's really slim pickings when it comes to SmackDown, but like, that way you can save this match for Rumble Mania. Like, you can do something big, unless they want to go back to it, maybe have Sasha win the Rumble, and then you can do it again at Mania. But like, I think there's such an opportunity here to do a big money match on a big stage that wasting it at Hell in a Cell just seems a little early to me.
I can see that. I mean, so, going back to when we were thinking about WrestleMania, and, you know, you went on record, and I didn't necessarily disagree, Sasha Bayley main event, WrestleMania 37, makes a whole lot of sense. But I don't necessarily hate the fact that they've pushed it up this far. And part of it is probably because I still have in my head remembering Sasha and Becky, Hell in a Cell, which was freaking incredible, right? That was one of the best matches of the past couple of years. And maybe that's also creeping into WWE's minds that Sasha, just in a cell, is going to just light it up and tear it up. And which, by the way, I'll now give the betting odds. Sasha Banks favored to win on Sunday. -225. Bayley is +160 to retain. And I mean, I think if Sasha wins, it might be her taking Bayley out for the foreseeable future, and then her running SmackDown, and then it might be the flip of what you were saying with Sasha winning the Rumble, where Bayley comes back in a couple of months, and she wins the Rumble and then takes on Sasha. So I don't know. I'm fantasy booking here, but that's what these odds I'm looking at tell me, that it is a possibility that Sasha beats Bayley, takes her out, you know, kayfabe injury, and then she's back in a few months. So that's
where I mean, I don't hate that. I definitely don't hate that. That would mean that probably Bayley comes back as a face.
Not necessarily. I mean,
it's just like those returns are always like when you return, it's always like a face.
So, is it though? Like when Seth got injured, when he tore up his knee and he came back, he's still heel. Yeah. And like that was like at the peak of him being hot, right? Like that was a few years ago now. But I mean, you could do it. So I don't think it's unfathomable that Bayley could return as a heel. So it's
she would have to return. I think it would have to be a return outside of the Rumble. So it would have to be a return beforehand where she does a lot of heelish shit.
Sure,
and she's just in the Rumble. Sure. Yeah, I think that's where you can do it. I mean, I'm not. I don't hate that idea because then it gives Sasha some time to like run the show. I just really wanted to see Sasha have that moment where she's victorious at WrestleMania and holding the belt up.
That would have been big.
The likelihood of her doing that as a challenger was a little bit better than her. We all know her record of retaining a belt.
Yeah.
On pay-per-views.
It's not good.
That's just kind of my booking, is that I just want to see Sasha get her fucking flowers. Like, I just want to see her get
no
her
totally no,
also I'm like you. I'm wondering how much a booking decision will go, like how much this is maybe just me thinking because I'm a huge Star Wars nerd, but like the Mandalorian returns this week and she's in season 2.
Wow, that's a great point.
How much does that impact the booking?
That's a great point, and that might be why. That's definitely why the betting odds are the way that they are. So they've clearly heard something because they don't just make these lines the way that they're made.
Right.
So I'm with it. They're going to capitalize on Mandalorian and Sasha Banks. Because
if you think about it, if she wins on Sunday, her first night as champion will be Friday night, and that's the day the show launches.
Let's do it. Sasha Banks as SmackDown Women's Champ and Mandalorian on the same day? It's like a vacation for you. You got to take work off.
Man, that happens. Shit. This is going to be wild for me. I can't wait for the Mandalorian to return.
Oh, yeah.
It's like fucking Christmas for me.
I'm super excited. All right.
That makes a ton of, okay, we're there. We're picking Banks. She's
Look
winning.
At Look at you doing some detective work. So we're both.
She's coming out.
We're all going
Sasha. She's coming out in her
Jedi hoodie. Yeah.
With the belt. And I'm gonna fucking flip out. Okay, let's move on. What are we talking next? You got the odds.
We've got Drew McIntyre, the WWE champion, taking on Randy Orton for what feels like the 9 millionth time. Who are you picking before I tell you the odds?
I'm picking Randy Orton.
All right. Well, I have the odds in front of me, so I'm going to tell you them, and then I'm going to give you my pick. Drew is actually favored to retain by a little bit. He's at -200. Randy, +150 to win. I think they're going to keep it on Drew. I really do. And I just think they're trying to book him really, really strong since he won the title. And like Randy doesn't.
They're trying to book him strong, but at the same time, like to beat Randy in the last pay-per-view, he had to have the help of four legends.
Right. So obviously, some holes in my argument, which I will fully acknowledge. I think this is where they make up for that. This is where it's just mano a mano, and Drew McIntyre pulls it off because he doesn't need help. So that's who I'm going with. It's again, I wouldn't be surprised if Randy won necessarily. I also wouldn't necessarily be that mad or upset about it, but I think Drew's got a good thing going, and let's keep the belt on him. I would like to see him enter a new feud. I just don't know who that is. I just don't want this feud to continue, because if Randy wins, that
the feud means definitely continues.
This feud continues. So that's just where I'm at with it mentally.
Well, like, if Randy wins, we are heading into Survivor Series, which ultimately puts feuds on hold because they do the fucking
triple threat
5-on-5. So
yeah, brand versus brand. Yeah,
right. So I mean, they can get away with Randy winning, and then they don't really have to worry about like the immediate rematch, because they're going to go into Survivor Series and they could figure out something out of that.
But I just think, piggybacking off that, if you're thinking ahead to the triple threat, like Randy, Roman,
they're not even doing NXT this year in Survivor Series, right?
Oh, did they make that call already? I wasn't sure.
I'm just assuming they're not, because they didn't include NXT in the draft. So I'm assuming like we've gone back to business as usual, where it's literally SmackDown versus Raw and NXT is just there.
I mean, that's interesting. I don't know if that changes my argument necessarily that much, but because if I'm looking ahead to Survivor Series, right, whether it's Triple Threat or whether it's Raw versus SmackDown, Randy versus Roman, two heels, just kind of going at it. I don't know if that, like, Drew Roman, that's a money match, right? And then throwing Finn, who's kind of like dances on the line there about what he actually is. Ooh, that's money right there. Like Drew.
Well, if you do the 5-on-5, you have your two heel champions. Then you have a couple baby faces around them.
The champions don't engage in the 5-on-5, right? They just take champion versus champion. Like,
if they're not going to do the champion match, they'll put them in the 5-on-5.
Sure, but we don't know. In the past couple of years, they've taken the belts from each side, right? And it's just been, they've faced off against each other. So like the Raw tag champs will take on the SmackDown tag champs, and vice versa. And then the fives are usually just everyone else in the peripheral, who are kind of like the top mid-carders, and then they become the five. Like last year, it was Roman, Keith Lee. And like at the end, they weren't necessarily champions.
Yeah, that was a moment.
So
yeah,
and it was an epic, epic moment.
Yeah. I mean, I just see the way that they've been booking this and the way they've been building Randy. It makes me think that they're going to give it to him, give him one more chance.
Sure.
And maybe that opens up the possibility of like we get Randy versus Edge for the title. I know, like,
oh boy,
time frame wise, like, this could be Edge returning soon.
Yeah.
How
long was Edge supposed to be out? Because he tore his tricep.
He's tore his tricep at what? The Greatest Wrestling? What pay-per-view?
Yeah, Backlash? Was that Backlash? It was after Summer Snow Week.
Was not Backlash, because Backlash was... Oh, yeah, it was. Okay, so June 14th, 2020.
June, July.
August, and we're in September. October. Oh, yeah, this is time.
4 months?
Coming up on 5 months.
Yeah. Well, he's within the realm. He could come back this weekend. That's probably why Drew's favored.
Oh, so you think he might be like the guy under the ring that costs Randy Orton?
Yeah, or, you know, does the bolt cutter thing. Because Drew...
Yeah, I think it'd be interesting to see Randy as the champion again. I'm kind of soured on Drew McIntyre as the champion. It's just become a little bit too boring. It's the same shit all the time. He needs somebody. Like, this feud has kind of run its course, so there needs to be a change in direction here, whether it's Randy with the champ with the belt, and maybe we get a babyface or babyface challenger. Maybe a Keith Lee.
Please put in Keith Lee. My God, man.
Maybe a Keith Lee.
My God.
Or you do Drew McIntyre and you try to find another heel that can get something out of him that, I mean, your best heel couldn't get out of him. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
They've been trying this with Randy, who's the best heel on Raw, and it's made Drew McIntyre even more boring in my eyes. So there's a decision that needs to be made. In my eyes, it's let's put the belt on a heel, and let's try to have a babyface come in and be the challenger, which could be Keith Lee, because they obviously need to do something with him.
Right. I'm with that. All right, let's move on to what I think is a very, very obvious pick. Roman Reigns taking on Jey Uso for the Universal title. Roman is heavily favored. let's just put it that way. He is he's favored to win at -2800.
Jesus so, Christ.
Jey Uso on the flip side, +900 to be your new Universal champion. It's not happening. Roman is going to this is going to be a lengthy run for the Tribal Chief.
This is an interesting choice to do an I Quit match in this style, though.
The double gimmick is interesting.
It seems like it's a lot. It feels like there's going to be some shenanigans here. Like, there's going to be something in here.
Yeah.
That is going to... There's a reason why they're doing an I Quit match. And I just feel like there's going to be some shenanigans. I'm starting to think Paul Heyman is going to turn on Roman Reigns at some point. It's not going to be a Hell in a Cell, but at some point he's going to turn on him.
I think it's going to be the opposite. I think Roman's going to turn on Heyman at some point.
Yeah.
Which is then going to force him to get Brock back, unfortunately. But that's...
Would that mean Brock's a babyface?
I don't know. I think he's just a machine. He's just out to kill.
There's just absolutely no way you can turn Roman away from the Tribal Chief. This kicks ass.
It's so good. He's on a heater right now. You never walk away from a heater.
Yeah, he's just hitting sevens.
Yeah,
and just like making people money at the craps table.
Yeah,
he just needs to, like, they need, whoever came up with the fact, like, let's do Tribal Chief as the gimmick, fucking deserves a raise, because this is the best thing they've done in a while. Like, everything about him is just like kick ass, and I love it. So, you know what could happen? I don't know if it will, but like, what if Jey never actually says I quit and Jimmy comes out and says I quit?
It might be. I think that, but that's kind of running back Jimmy throwing in the towel for him, right? So it's the same thing, just at a heightened stipulation. So I don't know if that would play again. But I do think Jimmy's going to be involved in some capacity. Whether he turn, I think he might turn on Jey.
Ooh, if he turns.
And then he joins.
See, you and I always come up with these like really juicy turns, and they just never happen. And like, it's a huge letdown for me.
Yeah. I think we fantasy booked them so well in our heads. We're like, oh, it's definitely happening.
Man, and then fucking Jimmy turn on Jey.
And then it doesn't happen.
That would give them like a really juicy storyline to work with. For them, for the Usos, because I think what this is also kind of is highlighted for me is like the Usos fucking kick ass, man. They don't get the respect that they
totally
deserve.
And Jey specifically has been doing incredible work.
Yeah, man. They've been so good. And they really get like overshadowed by the New Day, because like it so happens to be like two of the greatest tag teams ever have been rivals for the most part. And like they're incredible. Jey has been really excellent as a singles competitor, and I think this is an opportunity for them both to be singles competitors if we do a turn and we have brother versus brother. To what we did with the Bella Twins.
Sign me up for that. I think that's gonna be incredible. So we're obviously both picking Roman there, but now, listeners, if Jimmy turns on Jey, you heard it here first. Or maybe, I don't know, maybe
hit us up on, like, make sure that you guys get all that up on Twitter. Like, get this soundbite, put it up on Twitter, and like, let's blast it out if this happens, because I want, like, we need our damn respect too.
Absolutely. All right,
let's... words of LeBron James.
Oh, please don't bring that on here. All right, we're gonna wrap up by picking the Jeff Hardy versus Elias match.
Do we have to?
I mean, we should because it's officially on the card. There are betting odds. It's our job, man. So
Elias.
I'm going Elias as well. He's at -150, and you need him to win so you can sell. You can push some albums, baby. What's his album called? The Drifter.
Jeez, I don't even remember.
Jeans and Boots.
That song was terrible. Name? Like, I could not believe they actually gave him 5 minutes to sing that song.
Vince loves Elias, though, doesn't he? He's like a big
100%. He
big
loves
Elias
him.
Guy. And look, Elias is great. He can talk for days. Solid worker, not the best, but like his mic skills more than make up for his, you know, he's pretty vanilla-esque in the ring. He's fine, but it's he came back with a vengeance, full concert, and then right back into his feud with Jeff Hardy. So yeah, I'm going Elias too. Jeff won't be hurt by losing. But
did you happen to see? So there was this video that was going around on Twitter, I think today or yesterday or today. It was like the, it was when Jagged Edge performed on SmackDown.
No, what? Send so me like that back in
the
day,
it was like a wedding when they performed. They performed on SmackDown. It was like Meet Me at the Altar.
They did Let's Get Married.
Yeah.
Why don't I remember this?
There's a shot of Jeff Hardy in the crowd just vibing. He's just like all into it, and I fucking love it.
Oh, send me that once we log off here. I'm a big Jagged Edge stan. they dominated the early 2000s. That's absolutely incredible. Good find, whoever brought that up. All right, let's get out of here on that. Hell in a Cell this weekend. If you need to watch the MJF Chris Jericho duet to match up with Jeremy's viewings, get that done. But great to be back on the air, back recording, back talking about wrestling. If Hell in a Cell impresses, we might pop in a little snacker. I don't know. Little tease. You never know.
We might do it.
You absolutely.
In between me folding laundry and doing all that shit on Sunday, I might throw in a teaser here.
You know what? That's how we're gonna get out of here. All right, everyone. Thank you so much for listening. Don't forget to subscribe to the show wherever you download your podcasts. And if you're one of our fantastic Apple Podcast users, please, please, please rate us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. And if you're feeling spicy, leave a review. And our Spotify people, hit us with that follow so we can help us climb those Spotify charts.
And make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel. It's Two Jabronis with the Wrestling Podcast. Hit that button, subscribe, like, comment, do all those good things. You can see me broadcasting live from Aurora Borealis. and then make sure that you follow us on social on Twitter. You can follow us at Two Jabronis. Follow us on Twitter and on Instagram at Two Jabronis Pod. And you can follow me personally on Twitter at Jeremy A. Loss. And you can follow Ben at Cruise Control. That's Control with the K.
All right, there it is. Felt good to be back, Jay. Always fun to talk.
Awesome.
Always good to talk wrestling.
The world might be ending in a few weeks, so
we'll always have this episode.
Yeah.
And this podcast. All right, everyone. Stay safe. Stay healthy. If you can, stay home. If you can't, wear a mask and wash your hands. And always and forever, Black Lives Matter. All right, everyone.
Vote.
Vote. All right, everyone. We'll talk to you soon. Peace.